Track 2 News. Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday the 6th of February 2019. And today in the studio, your sound engineers are Martin and John. And the readers are Phil, Joyce and myself, Bronwyn. But before we get on with the news, on the 14th of February, the Beacon in Stourbridge are holding a Valentine Entertainment and Refreshments Day. That's from 1 till 3 p.m. If you're interested, tickets are £2. And for more information about this, please call Jackie Tromans on 01384 44 0333. And with that little bit of information, Phil will now start us off with the news.
With the coming of winter and with the prospect of more snow and icy weather, Dudley Council is reminding residents, volunteers and community groups that they can take advantage of free equipment to help clear snow in the borough during times of bad weather. The council provides people as well as voluntary groups with shovels, salt spreaders, high visibility vests, bags of special salt and advice on snow clearing as part of its Snowbusters initiative. The Snowbusters scheme is designed to help people, along with voluntary groups, who want to clear pathways, pavements and pedestrian areas during the periods of bad weather and heavy snowfall, and in order to reach and support vulnerable people. Last winter, over 200 packs were issued to residents who committed to help others in their area. Councillor Catherine Baton, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said, "Volunteer groups play a vital role in helping us to reach vulnerable people when it snows, and last year's extreme winter, the Snowbuster scheme brought together communities and individuals. I hope lots of people will help us to make the scheme a success this winter, whatever the weather may entail. Anyone interested in becoming a Snowbuster can contact the Council's Winter Warmth Service to get their kit by calling Dudley Council Plus on 03 00 555 2345. People can also keep up to date with key information during times of bad weather on the Council's Weather Watch page on www.dudley.gov.uk.
Planned cuts to a vital school transport service for students with special needs and disabilities in Walsall will now not go ahead. It has been confirmed. Leader of the council, Mike Bird, announced earlier today that the proposed post-16 transport savings will now not form part of the authority's 2019-20 budget savings. He said, "We felt it was not right until we explored further avenues, so it will not feature in this year's budget. The reason I am saying this now and not at the budget meeting on February the 13th is to help quell the anxiety caused by this consultation process." The Council Cabinet first discussed changing travel plans for students aged 16 and above who have special education needs and disabilities in October 2018 in a bid to save £560,000 a year. But the decision was met with furious backlash from supporters of the service, which is used by 97 people at Mary Elliott School, a place for youngsters with special educational needs. If the service did close, it would result in some students having to be put into out-of-hour care and parents having to make a three-hour journey twice a day to drop off their children. It has been said, In light of today's news, Bal Bassey, a teacher at Mary Elliott School, who fought against the cuts, said, "We are elated. I just can't believe it. It's the best news. Our hard work has paid off. I don't think we should have been put in this position in the first place, but we are so happy." Walsall North MP Eddie Hughes visited Mary Elliott School last year to discuss the issue with the head teacher. He said today, "I'm delighted that the concerns I raised have been listened to and that the council will not be making the cuts as part of its budget savings." In an official statement, Councillor Mike Bird said, "Along with Councillor Chris Toe, my portfolio holder for education and skills, I have reviewed the feedback we have received since consultation began. We recognise the strength of feeling and the potential impact that the proposed changes to the way in which travel assistance is provided has for these young people. After extensive discussions with Cabinet colleagues, we collectively propose to pause any changes regarding home-to-school transport for post-16 students with special educational needs and disabilities. This administration remains committed to ensuring that children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities lead lives that are as independent as possible. And this will continue to inform our thinking."
Stourbridge coffee drinkers have been left mourning the loss of two popular cafes within weeks. The Chemistry Cafe in the High Street closed in December, and Cafe Rimsky in Market Street confirmed on Facebook that it too has now closed its doors. Cafe Rimsky's shop official Facebook page simply said, "Cafe Rimsky's is now closed for business," and was followed up with a note saying, "We just didn't have the funds to keep it open." Coffee drinkers have been left in dismay at the loss of both independent cafes, which have closed within weeks of each other. Facebook poster Nicola Sutton described Cafe Rimsky as the best cafe in Stourbridge by a million miles. And another, Bethany O'Sullivan, said, saddened to hear of its closure, saying, "I love the food there." Leanne Finden added, "Oh no, this is awful news." While last month loyal customers said a sad farewell to the Chemistry Cafe, which had played host to visiting high-profile politicians, including Natalie Bennett from the Green Party and Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn in 2018. Sarah New described the closure as such a loss for independent Stourbridge, with David McMahon adding, "I looked at you guys as trailblazers for independent business on Stourbridge High Street." While Angela Sidaway said the Chemistry Cafe had been her favourite place to go in Stourbridge for the last few years. However, more than a dozen coffee shops remain in Stourbridge, including the Bella Rose Cafe and Restaurant, which recently opened in the High Street, virtually opposite Cafe Rimsky. But some Facebook commentators say there are simply too many cafes in the town.
A driver knocked over and killed a man on a Dudley Road, but didn't realise until he saw a police appeal the following day. A court heard, Kieran Badhams left Wallheath Hotel, where he was staying with a friend, just before 3 a.m. in his Peugeot 307 Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. During the journey, he became aware he had struck something. He did not know what it was, but it caused serious damage to the car, said Miss Rachel Pennington, prosecuting. After returning to the hotel, the now 21-year-old told his friend what had happened, and the pair took a taxi back to the scene in Amblecote, near Stourbridge Football Club's War Memorial Ground. They found parts of the car, but nothing that might have explained what he had struck, continued Miss Pennington. The Peugeot had been wrecked in the collision, but after the taxi took Badham's back to the hotel, he got into his unroadworthy car and drove it home. The following day he saw an appeal for information about a 37-year-old man who had died in Amblecote High Street during the early hours of December the 16th, 2017, and gave himself up. Badham's was arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving, but this was dropped. Tests showed the deceased, 37-year-old Christoph Kalewski from West Bromwich, had a significant amount of alcohol in his blood and was wearing camouflage-type clothing, said Miss Pennington, who added that evidence suggested he had stepped into the road. However, the defendant was accused of dangerous driving because of the condition of the car. Badham's of Mendip Close Lower Gornal pleaded guilty to dangerous driving and was given a 12-month community order with 50 hours of unpaid work, a year-long driving ban and an order to pay £500 in costs. He avoided a jail term, as Judge Jinder Singh Bura told him. This is an unusual case as it is about the condition of the car and not your driving. You were driving normally when you struck a man who died as a result. This was not your fault. After the initial collision, your car was unroadworthy, but you drove it to your home with protruding bits of metal that could have caused serious injury to pedestrians and other road users. You cooperated with the police, are contrite and have suffered psychologically knowing that the man died.
A school dog has been praised for making a positive impact on pupils and staff. 3-month-old Fern, the latest recruit at Holy Trinity School in Kidderminster, belongs to Mrs. Leake Wright, who had the idea of introducing a dog into the school. The introduction of the dog comes after increasing concerns over mental health and level of stress youngsters encounter during their education. Mrs. Pamela Leake Wright, head teacher at the school, said there has been an overwhelmingly positive response from all members of the school community, and already the impact of having Fern in school is tangible. Regardless of age, there seems to be a need that can be fulfilled by interacting with Fern, who seems to have a powerful impact on the emotional well-being within school. 2 years of planning, research and seeking advice has gone into making a school dog become a reality. Mrs. Leake Wright added, having enjoyed her first term, Fern is now very familiar with the sights, sounds and smells of her workplace. And having settled exceptionally well, she is now at an age to concentrate on specific training with her dog trainer so that she can start to join in classes over the coming term. She's still only a puppy, and so Fern will interact with children from 5 years old to sixth formers. She will be used to support the school's wellbeing programme and work alongside the school counsellor and will be a regular visitor to the school's libraries, encouraging pupils to read to her.
A furious Wolves fan who was struck in the face by a stray firework 16 years ago says they must be stopped at Molyneux after one went into the crowd again. Denise Wright said she was horrified when she saw footage of the firework cannoning off the roof of the Steve Bull stand and falling onto fans below before the match against West Ham recently. The 53-year-old from Telford required surgery on her fractured cheekbone after being hit in 2003. She said she had been left scarred by the incident and that she'd only been back to Molyneux 3 or 4 times since. At least one fan is thought to have been hit, but fortunately nobody was injured this time, and Wolves had said they will launch an investigation. The club said no decision has been made on whether fireworks will be set off at Molyneux in the future. Fireworks have become a regular feature since Wolves' promotion to the Premier League as part of changes by club bosses to enhance the matchday experience. But there are once again questions over safety after what happened recently. Ms. Wright, who works in the prison service, is adamant fireworks should not be let off again. She said, "I can't understand how it's still going on. Someone else could have been seriously injured. I said all along something is going to happen. I just don't understand how they can carry on doing them. It has happened twice. How many more times is it going to happen before they stop it? What happened to me was serious enough. My cheekbone was smashed. What is it going to take? Someone losing an eye?" She added, "To be honest, it stopped me going. I've only been to one fireworks display since and I had to be persuaded to go." Wolves hosted a Shrewsbury Town in the FA Cup before welcoming Newcastle United to Molyneux in their next home Premier League fixture on Monday, February the 11th. A club spokesman said it was too early to say whether fireworks would be launched at those games.
Halesowen Police Station is to close in 2021. Despite rumours circulating that the station had been saved and was to stay open permanently, confusion reigned over the site today as Halesowen and Rowley Regis MP James Morris announced the station had been saved following a meeting with local officers. But West Midland Police then confirmed hours later that it would close in the coming years. The station was originally earmarked for closure in 2015. Mr. Morris said officers at the station believed the site was to stay open permanently after new units moved in, and recently the local neighbourhood policing team was told to stop looking for a new base. But West Midland Police has confirmed it will close at the end of the force's 6-year estates programme, which began in 2015. The station had an official closure date of January the 31st, 2017, but this has been and gone, with the station still very much open, albeit with no front desk for the public. Halesowen and Rowley Regis MP Mr. Morris said the saga over the future of the station has caused more than 3 years of worry and confusion for local residents and placed doubt on the base for local police teams. He was led to believe the station had been saved, stating, "Following a meeting with local police, I am pleased that Halesowen Station will remain open and new teams will be using the site, including the West Midland Police Driving School. This is good news for Halesowen and will reassure local residents." However, West Midlands Police said in a statement, "West Midland Police and the Police and Crime Commissioner are planning to free up £5 million a year to invest in improving police buildings and protect 100 officer posts. As part of the programme, which is set to run for 6 years, no police building currently open to the public will close without first being replaced by a more efficient one nearby. Halesowen Police Base, which is not open to the public, will remain in place until the end of the estates programme, at which point it will close as originally announced. Like many historic police buildings, Halesowen is large, underutilised and expensive to run. The proposal to close the base does not mean residents lose a police presence in their area, and teams will continue to work and patrol in the community as they do now. While disposing of police buildings is never an easy decision to make, the plan will improve efficiency and ensure more officers are able to remain in post in the West Midland Force area.
More than £14,000 has been invested in a mobile bra fitting service for breast cancer patients in and around the Black Country and Staffordshire. This unique service is provided by a non-profit organisation called Community Breast Care, a professional and private bra fitting service that gives time and support to men and women of any age that have been diagnosed with breast cancer. It also offers educational packages to schools, community groups, along with health and well-being events and return to work interviews for small to large corporate organisations to support and educate employees. Macmillan Cancer Support has invested in the service for patients in the area. Alison Boyd, founder of Community Breast Care, said, "The service we offer is life-changing for breast cancer patients. Having a correctly fitted specialist bra post-surgery is imperative, especially for ladies who have undergone a mastectomy or a lumpectomy. If given the wrong size bra, the prosthesis can be the wrong weight and shape. This often causes emotional and psychological issues, along with low or more often no self-confidence and esteem. They feel lost as an individual, often walking into lingerie shops only to walk straight back out. Community Breast Care is striving to correct this issue and wants all past and present breast cancer patients to benefit from their unique service." Alison added, "Through the support of Macmillan and the funding we have received, we are able to support just over 200 breast cancer women with a free specialist bra and fitting. We have also created a GoFundMe page. All money raised will enable us to continue to provide our valuable service into the future. If you would like to donate, please see the links below." Sarah Gray, Macmillan Partnership Manager, said, "We are delighted to be able to provide significant funding for this valuable service. Macmillan aims to meet the individual needs of everyone living with cancer, and this important service will help us to continue doing that." To find out more about the service, visit communitybreastcare.co.uk.
A developer is set to unveil a master plan to transform the historic former Bluebird factory in Huntington into homes. Seven Homes is set to reveal a plan for more than 100 properties on the site at an exhibition at Romsley Cricket Club. The developer is remaining tight-lipped about the details of its scheme for the sprawling 150-acre site in Bromsgrove Road, but Chairman of Huntington Parish Council, Steve Fitzpatrick, has seen the proposal. He said plans were to transform the iconic building into apartments and to preserve a pavilion building and convert it into cottage-style homes. Councillor Fitzpatrick said a selection of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 bedroom homes would then be built on land behind the former factory, bringing the total of homes created, including apartments, to 116. Councillor Fitzpatrick, who met with planners earlier this week, said, "The plan looks quite good. It's a brownfield site and really something does need to be done with it. We need homes in the village. We are waiting to see what people think because we represent them. But the plan looks very sympathetic. I'm glad they are keeping the building and preserving the front of it and the green, and also some of its internal features like fireplaces. Seven Homes has sent out leaflets to residents inviting them to the exhibition, which ran from 3 p.m. till 8 p.m. at the Cricket Club in Bromsgrove Road, where it promised a master plan for the site would be unveiled. The factory, with its imposing entrance of Doric columns, was built in 1925 by Bluebird's founder, Sir Harry Vincent, at a cost of £250,000, which is over £7 million today in today's terms. Romsley and Huntington History Society chairman Paul Scher said he would like to see the building preserved. He said, "The grounds are a bit shabby, but the main building and its dining area are still intact. The main building is iconic, so it would be good to see it converted into flats to preserve it." In the company's heyday, Bluebird exported its products to more than 70 countries, building its reputation on the slogan, "Bluebird, Britain's best toffee." Bluebird left the factory in 1998. There are also warehouse buildings on the site. However, Bromsgrove District Council said a planning application had not been submitted.
Thousands of frontline hospital staff across the region have not been vaccinated against the flu. It can be revealed. Across the Black Country and Staffordshire, more than 7,500 doctors, nurses and other frontline staff have not been vaccinated. A total of 857 have refused to get the jab. The uptake rate for Stafford Health Trusts across the two counties getting the jab is 72%, higher than the national average of 66%. NHS England has urged healthcare workers to get vaccinated to protect themselves and their patients, pushing for near universal coverage. At the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, which runs New Cross Hospital and Cannock Chase Hospital, 2,512 workers did not get the jab between September and December last year, according to the figures released by Public Health England. A total of 3,372 staff out of 6,284 were vaccinated in the four-month period, an uptake of 60%. Anne-Marie Canaby, the chief nurse at the Health Trust, said more staff had since been vaccinated, with the uptake now nearly 62%. She added, "The take-up of the staff flu vaccination this year has been strong, with our latest figures showing that 61.57% of frontline staff have received the vaccination. We are in the top five most improved trusts in the country for flu vaccination this year, showing a significant increase on last year's figures, along with the motivation from staff to get their jabs. Additionally, there are some staff who cannot have the flu jab due to allergies, ethical reasons, or health conditions. Staff could also be on maternity leave or long-term sick leave and therefore would not receive the flu jab." At Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Russell's Hall Hospital, 1,664 staff had not been vaccinated between September and December last year. However, that figure has now decreased to 1,464. Diana Waite, the Trust's chief executive, said the flu vaccination campaign for NHS staff launches nationally in October with the target of getting 75% of frontline staff vaccinated by the end of February. As of January the 20th, we had vaccinated 3,151 of our frontline staff, which is 68%. Flu vaccination is not compulsory, but we encourage all our staff to get their flu jab. The health and well-being of our staff is extremely important to our organisation and throughout the flu season. We have been encouraging colleagues to look after themselves as well as our patients by taking up the offer of the vaccine.
And with that final item from Phil, we'll now make way for track three, culture. So it's goodbye from Bronwyn.
Goodbye from Phil.
And goodbye from Joyce.